Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Danny Flood. This audio interview is brought to you by Open World Magazine, the ultimate guide for living the adventurous lifestyle, improving yourself, and learning the best ways to acquire new skills. I'm excited today because I'm joined by my friend Sean Perez. He's a very interesting guy who's able to speak seven languages. And we met recently in Guam, where we are right now. We're at a coffee shop where we have a little bit of background noise, but we're going to try to do our best here. Sean, I just wanted to welcome you to the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So maybe you could start out by telling us a little bit about your background and tell us a little about your travels and how you developed this love of languages.
Okay. I'm originally from Guam, born and raised here. As far as traveling goes, I love traveling. I always knew I loved traveling because of the fact that I'm just fascinated by every place I visit. You know, every country's got a new history for me, a new culture. I just like exploring the world.
What first ignited that love of travel?
I just love encountering foreign things that are different to me.
Mm-hmm.
The world's got so much to show you, and every country has and something new.
Yeah, and I guess when you're coming from an island as small as Guam, you want to see more of the world, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So what was the... why don't you tell me some of the seven languages that you speak?
Okay. I speak English, Chamorro. Chamorro is the native language of the people on Guam. It's a Malayo-Polynesian language. It's kind of like the precursor to Polynesian languages like Samoan, Hawaiian. Chamorro is a much older language. Chamorros have been here for over 4,000 years. We're one of the first people to settle the Pacific. So it's a very old language. English, Chamorro. I speak Japanese and Chinese fluently. I speak conversational French and Spanish, and I'm working on Korean and Russian right now.
Wow. So how many is that? That's even more than seven then.
If you add on Russian, it's going to be eight. I don't say eight yet because I'm still working on Russian.
Okay, and then so the first one you learned was the first second language you learned.
I grew up speaking English and Chamorro. So okay. The third language would be. I attempted to learn Spanish first in high school, like everyone does, you know.
attempted. Why do you say attempted?
Because I just took it in high school for like two semesters, not thinking I was going to ever use it in the future. And but the first language I ever got fluent in after English and Chamorro was Japanese.
Japanese, okay. And how did that happen? Because I've heard that usually they have gateway languages. Like if you speak English already, then it's easier to learn. Takes less hours to learn German or Spanish.
Yeah, if they're related, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's true.
Did you lived in Japan for a while? Or no, you lived in Taiwan for a while.
I lived in Taiwan where I was studying Chinese.
Okay.
But I had learned Japanese before I attempted to learn Chinese.
How'd you get started learning Japanese?
It's kind of an interesting story. When I was 9 years old, I found this tourist pamphlet. It was kind of like a guidebook, and it had English, it had Japanese in the Japanese script, and it had like a romanized translation or a pronunciation guide for it. And in my 9-year-old little mind, I was thinking, you know, if I just learn these phrases and I use them at the right time, I can speak a language. And the idea of it being that simple just stuck with me, you know.
So you started when you were nine?
Yeah, I think I was fascinated with a foreign language when I was nine at first.
And how long did it take you to learn Japanese the first time?
Well, to get to a conversational level, maybe about 3.5 months.
3.5 months? When you were 9 years old?
No.
Sorry.
So I was fascinated when I was nine, but then I lost that guidebook and I didn't pursue it until later.
Oh, okay. And so you were having conversations after 3.5 months?
Yes.
Wow.
Back in the early 90s, that was the heyday of the Japanese economy. And so our tourists here were predominantly Japanese. And so we just needed to focus on Japanese. There weren't any Chinese or Korean tourists. And I was having a lot of fun. I was working at a resort where most of the guests were Japanese. And I got to practice it. Mm-hmm. And I was also taking it in university.
So would you say the practice aspect, the fact that there's Japanese tourists here, was a reason why you picked it up so fast? Because you were able to use it?
Yeah, it definitely helped. Because mm-hmm. I was learning the structure and the grammar in school. And then I was practicing it, talking to the tourists.
Okay, gotcha. Now, why is it that you were able to learn this so fast, and most people can study language for like 3 years or so, or live someplace for 30 years and never pick up the local language?
I think I have a very, I don't know if it's a different approach, but I never learned this approach. I just came up with it myself. It's I look at natural language acquisition in kids, you know, and I approach it that way. I approach it like a little kid does, you know. I noticed that adults tend to overthink things, where kids don't. Kids just take it, everything at face value and just accept it for what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've actually taught language. I've taught Japanese. I've taught Chinese in high school. And I noticed adults are much slower to pick up language, partially because they question everything, whereas kids don't. You know, so I approach it like a kid does.
What do you mean they question? What are some of the things they question?
Oh, okay. Sean. Like, for example, they'll say, why do you say this in Japanese? Why do you say it this way in Japanese or Chinese? Yeah. You know, it's very different in English. That question actually doesn't make sense. It's a totally different right. language. They have nothing to do with each other. But I get that question a lot. Or
How they use their sentences backwards kind of in Japanese, where
right,
they have the verb
right.
They
question why the grammar yeah. is backwards, you know? Uh-huh. Where I think you shouldn't question it, just accept it for what it is. It'll, when you question things, it impedes you, it slows you down. Where if you look at little kids interacting with each other, let's say you find a bunch of kids who don't speak the same language, they're hanging out, they're still communicating. Mm. You know what I mean? They're talking to each other in their own language. And or even if they're in a foreign country, let's say you have a little kid in a foreign country trying to pick up a language, they absorb it faster. Have you ever noticed that? The kids just absorb language faster.
I have kind of noticed that, where the kid will be more fluent than the parents in whatever
right.
language, like in English, for example.
Because they'll listen to something and say, oh, that's how you say it in French, or that's how you say it in Japanese. They
right.
won't question it. You know, they'll just memorize it, just remember it.
Maybe there's also a syndrome like the older people feel like they can't learn new tricks. Like it's the
maybe.
Old dog not being able to learn new tricks.
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
But kids also
kids seem to be like a sponge. They seem to absorb things
that's
more.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they absorb it. They don't question it. They just
okay.
accept it for what it is.
It's interesting. So how do you take this approach? Because I think that's a great approach to life in general. Like if you want to
yeah.
make changes in your life, you want to like you know take up. Tango dancing or, you know, archery or,
okay.
or anything, and you want to just absorb things.
Well, just with regards to language, let's say
yeah, yeah.
You're learning a language, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your teacher tries to tell you something that you don't think is that important. I don't think you should have that approach to it. I think you should just learn it. Because when it comes down to it, if you want to get fully fluent in language, it has to be all-encompassing. You have to learn everything that the teacher is giving you, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You might think, oh, this is about physics. I'm never going to use this. You will eventually if your goal is to get fluent.
Yeah.
So don't question it. Just learn it. Just accept it.
And so what's the approach that you use when you learn a language? Because, I mean, over the course of learning 7 languages, you started out with Japanese. I imagine you must be getting better and better each time you take on a new language, right?
Yeah. You know, little tricks here and there. For one thing, I think we talked about this earlier when we were just talking about language. People get overwhelmed and get bored with learning a language,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think you always have to make it fun. I think you have to incorporate games when you're learning it. I have a couple of games that I play when I'm learning a language because I try to keep it fun. I'll play the word expansion game. So let's say I'm trying to learn Japanese as an example. I'll go up to someone and say, hi, you know, introduce myself. Teach me a new word, you know. And so what will happen is they'll say a few simple words thinking you don't know that much Japanese. And that'll help you review the words you already know. And then eventually they're going to get to a word that you don't know. And that's going to expand your vocabulary. You know what I mean? I call it the word expansion game.
So you actually go up to like a Japanese person and say,
yeah.
teach me a word.
Yeah, or maybe
it's a stranger?
No, it could be anyone.
Oh,
matter.
Okay.
It could be a friend of yours who is Japanese. You know, just say, hey, teach me a word.
Okay.
And like I said, you'll go over words that you already know and eventually get to a word that you don't know. And that'll expand your vocabulary. You know, you constantly do that. Also, my approach is I don't try and do too much at one time. I think a lot of adults especially try and cram too much in at one time. That's a cramming approach. And it may be good for the short term, but if your goal is to get fluent, I don't think that's a good approach. So
right.
I make a commitment to myself to learn one new word a day, just one new word a day. I pick one word because it's not overwhelming. Anyone can learn one new word a day. And it's not, you know, it's not too much.
There's a couple of directions I could go in that. I think I read somewhere that in English, for example, I don't know the exact number, but 15 to 20% of the language is used 90% of the time.
That makes sense.
And then, you know, the rest of the language is just like, you know, aardvark or words like that, you know, that you would almost never use in actual conversation.
Right, right.
It comes at the beginning of the dictionary, but, you know, aardvark. But, so I guess that goes back to the overwhelm thing where people think they overthink things and they overwhelm themselves too much when really, you know, you can just, I've experienced this when I went to Latin America, you know, if you just know like some of the conversational threads to start out with, you can kind of just build on that.
Yeah. Oh, that's another way I kind of approach it too.
Okay.
When I first start learning a language, I try and make myself able to ask and answer. Do you know the who, what, when, why, where type of questions?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm trying to learn a new language, I'll teach myself how to say a sentence using who, what, when, why, where, and how to answer those.
Okay.
And that'll automatically cover a lot of ground, you know. So it's a good basic thing to start with. Who, what, why, when, where, and how. How to ask those questions and how to respond to those questions.
So give me some examples of some of those questions.
Okay. Well, just like in Japanese. Let's say I was to try to learn Japanese. I would learn how to say who, which is dare. I would learn a basic sentence. Who is it? Dare desu ka? And learn how to answer it. Tomonachi desu. It's my friend. You see? Something
okay.
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that'll give you a basic structure. And that's a good base to start with. Who, what, when, why, where, and how.
I always have fun when I go to Thai restaurants and I'll just, you know, I'll say, Sawadikap, kunsabaidimaikap. So I'll just say, you know, like, hello, how are you? What's your name? Nice to meet you. And they think I'm just fluent, you know, just so fluent in Thai because I can just have like this basic conversation, but I use it everywhere I go and just have fun with it. So that's really interesting. So do you keep a list of these phrases that you use and reuse in different languages? Because I thought about that as well. Like I thought, you know, like these are all the things I normally say on a sheet of paper. Like, can you put all that like on just like...
I've never done it for personal use, but at the place I work, they give a language differential raise for every language you can speak, and the different levels of testing. So I did put questions like that are pertinent to the job on paper, and I actually hand them out to employees to help them get language raises.
Do you find that financial motivation helps people learn?
Yeah, that's one motivation. And it's not my personal motivation, but sure. I just like talking to different people from all around the world. That's my motivation.
Yeah. Well, why is it that most people aren't motivated, would you say?
I think everyone's just curious about learning a different language. I mean, I think everyone would like to learn a different language if it were mm-hmm. possible.
But I feel like most people fail, though.
For different reasons. They overwhelm themselves, like we were talking about.
Right.
And maybe they don't have a very efficient approach. A lot of people get frustrated because what they're doing may not necessarily work, you know. So I approach things in a very efficient way. Like I said, I get the basic questions out of the way first, when, why, where, and how. And I just take it one step at a time. Like I commit to learning one new word a day, which is not too hard of a commitment. And you don't need, let's say, a native speaker to stick to that commitment. Let's say you weren't able to talk to someone who spoke Japanese and you wanted to learn a Japanese word for that day. Go online or open a dictionary, just learn mm-hmm. a new word, you know. And that's another kind of vocabulary expanding exercise. Because if you commit to learning one new word every day, you are purposefully expanding your vocabulary.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned going online because... I recently just read an article about this guy was recommending using Google Images. So actually, so you actually type in the word into Google Images and then you associate a visual to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's actually a word for that, but I forgot the word.
So like if you type in Kanojo into Google Images, you'll get a Japanese girl or something like that.
Right. I actually use that approach when I'm learning... like a different writing script in a different language. Well, like when I was studying Chinese and Japanese, I would do that. Because basically each character in Chinese represents something in reality.
Right.
And so I would give it a context. I would give it a story to help me memorize the character. Yeah, and that actually really helps. And then later on, I realized that there were studies done on that, and people do that to help memorize characters. But I had done that on my own.
Yeah, because I think the hardest part of learning language is memorization, right?
Memorization?
I mean, versus pronunciation or other things like, you know.
Yeah, and with memorization too, like you don't want to do too much at one time. Like one or two words a day is fine. Another thing I noticed that adults do that kids don't do is that adults doubt themselves to be like, no, this is not going to work. You know, they're studying for a little while, they get frustrated and they give up. Kids just take it for granted that everything's going to fall into place eventually. You know, and if you keep at it, things will, and then you'll establish different levels of fluency.
So maybe it's just a mental thing because adults are, maybe they don't have the confidence or, because when you're a kid, I mean, you feel like you're going to be an astronaut or the president or an athlete.
You're not easily deterred as a kid.
Yeah, exactly. And do you think another thing that might deter people is time? Like you say overwhelmed, like we're overwhelmed with our work or our relationships as well.
The lack of time.
Yeah, we have more to deal with as adults as well.
That's true. That's very true. But like I said, my approach is very different. I don't do too much at one time. Anybody can commit to learning one word of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You can open a dictionary if you don't have someone to talk to.
Is it better to learn the words, individual words, or actual phrases?
I think it's better to learn, let's say your goal is to learn an individual word,
mm-hmm.
to learn it in a phrase.
Okay.
There's a couple reasons for that. If you learn it in a phrase, you're automatically able to use it in conversation, you know? And then if you're memorizing phrases, you're using the grammar. You may not necessarily know the grammar or understand the grammar, but you're using the grammar in practice, and then eventually it'll fall into place. It'll start to make sense.
Okay.
So if you're going to learn vocabulary, I don't agree with just rote memorizing vocabulary. I agree with learning vocabulary in a phrase.
Gotcha. And then just getting out and practicing, right?
Yeah. Oh, the more the practice, the better, of course.
What if you don't have a chance to really practice with anyone?
Well,
something else you can try to do?
Modern technology can come in. You can find friends online.
Yeah.
There's always people looking for language exchanges online.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of one called Italki. If you listen to this interview, it's Italki, italki.com. And I think it's just like you mentioned, you can go on and do language exchanges with teachers. And from what I understand, you earn credits, and then you can use those credits to learn other languages if you give a lesson to someone, or you can pay
That's a great way to learn language. I didn't know about that, but that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, yeah, there's a big community. I've gone on and checked it out. I haven't actually used it myself, but it looks really cool. Yeah. So, what are some other ways to make language learning fun? I wanted to ask you about that again.
Because
I've heard of different approaches people use. Like Japanese manga and stuff, like reading.
I think actually manga is a really good way to learn how to read Japanese. Because
mm-hmm.
With Japanese manga, you know, they use Chinese. There's three types of alphabets that Japanese people use, right? There's hiragana, katakana, and kanji. Kanji is actually taken from Chinese. And it's like pictographic. And there's thousands of characters that they have to memorize. But in Japanese manga, because manga is primarily read by children, they'll have the Chinese writing and then like almost a pronunciation guide on the side. So it's a really good way to learn how to read Japanese. And also, if you're reading it in stories like manga, you're learning how to use the words in context. But I think manga is a good way to learn how to read.
Yeah. I've noticed, for me personally, I think the more you're interested in the actual culture and of the language that you're learning, a target language, the more motivated you'll be, the more interested you are to actually immerse yourself in it.
Yeah, I think most people do take that approach. They'll start learning the language they're most interested in, because it's the culture they're interested in.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people fail. Like, they'll try to learn a language, but then they know they're never going to go there. They're never actually going to use it. So, like, you know, like so many people get forced into learning Spanish in high school.
You know, that's interesting.
Spanglish.
Because in my travels, when I was younger, I would travel, mm-hmm. and I would get lost and need directions. Mm-hmm. I would run into Japanese people, and they could help me. Or I remember once traveling in Indonesia. Most people in Indonesia will study a language. It might be German or French or whatever. And I found people who were studying Japanese, and I was able to use Japanese to talk to an Indonesian person. You know, it all helps in the end, you know. there's really no downside to learning another foreign language.
Do you ever worry about like screwing up when you talk to people or confusing them?
Oh, I get this question a lot.
Yeah.
Up until my third language, I did once in a while. You know, like sometimes I would want to say my third foreign language, I mean. I would want to say something in Japanese, and I might say something in Spanish instead. But after the third language, I don't mix them up anymore.
I see. What about if you're just learning and you just... Okay. So I heard about this story. This guy was trying to tell his host mother to wake him in the morning in Japanese. Mm-hmm. But he actually said to violently rape me in the morning. So I was like...
Yeah, I know. It's a difference of one phoneme. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know the word you want to mention that?
I don't know. What's the word? Maybe it's... How do you say wake?
Okay.
Awake.
So wake me up is... Okoshite.
Okoshite.
Okoshite is rape.
So are you ever worried that like you're going to tell someone, you know... You've been at China. Like, you've seen the signs of Chinglish there? Like, please fall down carefully, or slippery four, please fall down carefully, and stuff like this.
Yeah. I think that's just job security for English teachers in foreign countries. They still need us, you know? But, no, I don't worry about it too much, because over the years I've made so many mistakes. You really have to be able to laugh at yourself, you know? I mean, you're going to make mistakes and just get over that fact. And it's part of the learning process. I tell you, I guarantee... If you make a mistake and someone laughs at you, you won't forget it. And it'll help you get better the next time.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's part of the learning process.
It makes for a funny story too, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Even to this day, I remember lots of mistakes that I used to make.
So you mentioned phoneme. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right? Phoneme or phoneme?
Phoneme. Yep.
Could you explain that a little more for someone who is not familiar with that?
A phoneme is just a linguistics term. It means the smallest part of a language that can make a difference. For example, we just said okoshite as opposed to okashite. There was a ka as opposed to a ko.
Okay.
Just changing that one sound would change the meaning. That's what a phoneme is. It's the smallest part of a language that will affect the meaning of a word.
Okay. And so I know in Mandarin there's different tones like ma and ma.
Yeah.
Are those considered phonemes as well, the tones?
No.
Okay.
No. Those are actual tones. I really like learning Mandarin because it was the only tonal language I ever tried to learn. There are four tones in Mandarin, and there's one non-tone. So technically there's five tones. I'll give you an example. Ma, that's the first tone. It's long and high.
Mm-hmm.
Ma, that's the second tone. It starts low and rises. Ma. That's the third tone, and it starts in the middle, drops down, and comes up slightly. And then the last tone is ma. It starts high and drops down to the bottom. And a difference in tone will change the word completely. I have a funny phrase that I like to say. Okay, so ma means mother. Ma means hemp or marijuana. Ma means horse. And ma means to scold someone.
Right.
So I like to... When teaching Chinese, I like to say this funny phrase: "My mom scolded me because my horse ate her marijuana." 我妈骂我，因为我马吃他妈. So you see, the word is ma, ma,
right?
But the tone changes everything.
And you just pointed out something else where you mentioned a funny story behind the language, or behind how you learn the language, and that's called mnemonics, right? Are you familiar with the mnemonics?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard that's also very important. Like, you can actually attach a story to each thing you learn.
Well, for me, I basically use it when I'm learning how to write Chinese or Japanese characters. Because they're pictographs, and as I'm learning the strokes for a certain character, I'm giving it a context. You know, mnemonics, that's right. And giving it a context helps me remember it or recall it when I want to say it or use it.
And you say mnemonics are pretty important, are pretty valuable for memorization.
Yes.
Because I think this repetition, you know, just rote memorization probably isn't as efficient.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, like when I was I've been studying Japanese a little bit recently, and just some of the phrases, like some of the words, I just attach a specific meaning to them. Mm-hmm. You know, like koko. You know, like please wait here a moment. You know, koko mm-hmm. de mate kudasai. Mm-hmm. And I just think of koko, like I'm almost telling a joke to someone. You know, like or something.
Oh, like a cuckoo joke.
Cuckoo joke or koko, like because I'm asking them to wait here or something. Oh, like,
and I noticed something interesting. Yeah. Like the stranger, the context you attach mm-hmm. to it, the easier it is to recall that word. The easier it is to remember it.
The stranger, the context.
Yeah, the stranger or the more complex.
Okay.
The mnemonic. The easier it is to memorize it.
So how are you applying this to your latest language, Russian?
Russian? At this level, I've taught myself how to read.
Okay.
And Russian's a Slavic language. It's very different from English. I'm finding very, very few cognates with English. There are some, but...
So a cognate, for someone who doesn't know, that's... A word that's similar?
A word that's similar or the same in two different languages.
Okay, and how do cognates help you learn?
Once you realize there's some cognates, you don't need to memorize them because you know the words already.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, there's cognates with English and Spanish and Italian, you know?
Right.
So, we kind of touched on this a little bit. If you know a certain language and you're attempting to learn a language that's similar, the cognates will help you learn it. And I've noticed that. I first started learning Japanese, and then when I went to learn Chinese, there are a lot of cognates. A lot of Japanese words are based from Chinese.
Chinese, okay. Yeah. I know there's also a lot of American and Japanese cognates as well.
Yeah, they borrow a lot of foreign words. We have some too, like we say sushi and wasabi. And, but
I think they have salary.
There are quite a few in Japanese.
Yeah,
it's actually very trendy to incorporate a lot of English in the Japanese, like they, the Japanese language is very adaptable like that. They've incorporated a lot of German words, Portuguese words, English words.
And they've Japanified them, right?
Yeah. like the word for bread in Japanese is pan. It comes from Portuguese.
Portuguese, wow.
And it's the same in Spanish, pan, in Italian. Pan.
Yeah, bread. Yeah, and I know also a lot of the words are literally the same in, you know, French, Spanish, Portuguese, like... Portuguese will end in like cow, like mm-hmm. C-A, I don't know how to say it right, but C-A-O. And the same word in Italian will end in Z-I-O-N-E. So it's basically the same word with just a different ending to it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's probably because they're all Latin-based, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess, you know, a lot of people don't realize that they already know a lot of the words in another language already.
Right. So when that in mind, it's a lot less intimidating.
Right. Good stuff. How are we doing on time, Sean?
Got about give us another 10 more minutes.
10, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
All right. So if you could go back to when you first started and you wanted to, like, you could do things over again, you know, what would you tell yourself, like your 15-year-old self or whenever?
Like, this is quite funny because I can speak 7 languages, but I would have been much more dedicated. Like,
you wish you were more dedicated?
Yeah, okay. To the language, because I've done it, and I basically did it because it was fun, you know? I think if I had just dedicated myself solely to learning language, I would easily speak like 11 by now.
11, wow. Yeah.
Because, it's fun. It's not hard. It's not a chore because I enjoy meeting new people and just speaking different languages. I really enjoy finding out about the different idiosyncrasies in other foreign languages, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just amazed at the differences, or like Chinese, for example. It's first tonal language I ever tried to learn. The tones were so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
How one tone can change the meaning of a word. And I noticed for most foreigners, they can never... Well, the problem with most foreigners trying to learn Chinese is that a lot of them can't go over that hump of getting over the tones, you know?
Right.
The tones make or break you in Chinese.
Yeah, I struggle with that a bit myself. But you you actually lived in Taiwan for...
For 10 years.
10 years, right? And how quickly did you pick up the language while you were living in Taiwan?
I'd say to get at a conversational level, maybe 4 months.
4 months?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
but
significantly faster than most people.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. But, would you say that your travels impacted your desire to learn?
No. I mean, I think my desire to learn was probably my motivation to travel. Maybe the opposite.
Okay.
Because I've always been fascinated with languages, even from when I was a little kid.
Interesting. And I think so, just that fascination, interest. I mean, you say you practice daily, right? Each language?
Oh, yeah. When I'm first attempting to learn a language, I stick to those very simple commitments. Learn one new word a day, not more.
Keep the commitment small.
Yeah, keep the commitment small and manageable. That's the thing. Mm. So you don't get overwhelmed and give up.
I see.
And keep it fun. Keep the commitment small and keep it fun.
Yeah, that's a great way to do anything. And just keep the commitment at a minimum. Like when I'm writing, or anyone, writers, when they start writing, they're just like, all right, I'll just write 100 words today. You know, I'm not going to write the whole novel today. I'm just going to start out writing 100 words. And if I keep going, then good. Otherwise, I'm just going
to
stop.
Yeah, you know, so you get into a groove.
The hardest part is just to get started, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you'll get into a groove, and then you'll end up writing 3,000 words, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing with the language, you know. You commit to one word, and more often than not, you're going to end up learning two or three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you open a dictionary, like, I always wanted to learn how to say bird in Japanese. You open bird, fly, you know. Sometimes that'll happen, which is fine. But you just commit to learning one new word a day.
So if you could give someone an outline, or not just an outline, but also like a set of tools, like you mentioned a dictionary, mm-hmm. using language exchange. Okay. If you could give someone just kind of a rough outline, what would you say?
Okay, I think a couple of very valuable tools are a notebook. I think you should carry a notebook with you all the time if your goal is to learn a new language.
Okay.
Because I'm sure everybody's experienced this, you know. You run into someone and say, oh, you know, there was something I wanted to ask you, but I forgot what it was. If you have a notebook on you, you can write it down right away.
Yeah.
Like, I had a really good question, but write it down. Also, if you hear a word you've never heard before, you can write down what it sounds like and then figure out what it is later. So notebook, I think, is a very invaluable tool. And when you're reviewing for the language, I think flashcards are really important too. I think if flashcards done right are probably the best tool for learning.
So how do you use flashcards?
Okay, I'll give an example. This okay. is what I'll do. Let's say I have a stack of 20 words that I want to memorize, 20 words or phrases. Okay?
Okay.
I'll write the English on one side and the foreign language on the other side.
Okay.
Okay? And my goal is to produce the language, so I don't look at the foreign language side. I look at the English side.
Okay.
So let's say it's an example of colors, right? I look at blue. Blue, and let's say the target language is Chinese, Mandarin. Blue. If I don't know what it is, I look at the back. Lan. Okay. Then I'll turn it over, and I'll look at the English again, and I'll make myself say it. At least say it completely once. Lan. Okay. Then I'll put it back into the stack.
Okay.
Then I'll go on to the next one. And the next one is red. Hong. And let's say I know it. Hong. Oh, I knew that one. Okay. I put the one I knew off to the side.
Okay.
And I keep going that way. And the ones I don't know, I keep putting back into the stack. You know? So the ones I do know, I put them to the side. Let's say I get through all the cards, and I have the ones on the left are the ones I don't know, the ones on the right I do know. I look at the ones that I do know one more time. And I'll go through them again, make sure I get them 100%. If I kind of struggle through some, I'll put them to the side again. You know what I mean? So it's very efficient. It's very quick. Like, I'll learn maybe 20, 30 phrases in a few minutes. I mean, 15, 20 minutes.
That's great. Sorry if there's any background noise if you're listening to this. We're at a coffee shop, so hopefully you got all that. But, yeah, I actually do know there's a tool called Anki, which is an app for iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
It's also on you can download for your laptop. It's free.
It's a Japanese word, Anki.
Anki, yeah, yeah.
Means to memorize.
Yeah, actually, I think the laptop version's free. I don't know if the app is free, but... It's kind of works similar to what you just said. Like, you know, it'll pull up the English phrase, and then you say it, and then you can either click three options, whether it was easy, you know, so-so, or hard.
Mm.
And if it's hard, it'll make you take it again.
More,
yeah, it kind of randomizes it.
Yep. So I guess that's basically what I'm doing with the flashcards.
Okay. And you said flashcards are one of the most valuable ways to
learn. I think so, too. I mean, if you don't have a computer on hand, you know. Flashcards, I think, are a great way to review for a language.
And how often should you practice with flashcards? Like 15 minutes a day or so? 20 minutes a day?
You know, I think this is very personal, because I think some people have more mental stamina than others.
Okay.
Honestly. And maybe 5 minutes is long enough for some people. It depends on you. Like, let's say you can go at it for 20 minutes and it doesn't affect you much. why not go at it for 20 minutes?
And what are some other ways that a person can motivate themselves to do it? Because we mentioned the financial motivation. And I know people have all kinds of ways they motivate themselves. Like, there's even tools like apps, like, you know, like you say, like, if I fail this challenge or if I fail learn this language, then I'll pay everybody in my friends list, you know,
$2. I think positive reinforcement is better than negative reinforcement. It sounds like negative reinforcement. Like, if I'm going to end up paying money.
Treat yourself to a cupcake afterwards if you.
Sure, whatever works, you know.
Yeah.
I've never actually thought about that. I have taken.
Well, you're obviously very motivated. Reasons. You're obviously very motivated. Yeah. But I guess, you know, the most difficult thing for someone is probably adhering to a schedule, I think. You know, just like working out.
Yeah.
You know, and they everyone starts out in January, you know, they have their New Year's resolutions and the gym's packed. And then, you know, come March, April, you know, it's 20% of what it was.
It's funny. People have like health resolutions for New Year's. Sometimes mine are like linguistic resolutions. Like, I'm going to get to level one in Russian by March. You know, I've done that actually. Oh, you know, there's a funny story. I told you at my work there's language incentives, right? I actually took the Korean test after studying for just 3 days. I didn't know any Korean.
Wow.
What I had done was I had asked one of the Korean interns to translate all the phrases that were going to be asked. There's about 60 phrases. I didn't know any Korean grammar or anything. I memorized all 60 phrases in 3 days, and I took the test and I passed.
Wow. How much time did you spend studying in those 3 days?
I'd say maybe an hour or more each day.
Wow. And you were able to memorize all 60 phrases?
Yeah. And I was able to recite them, like, without mistake.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I didn't know any Korean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when I took the test, the tester was asking, like, where did you study? I was like, I never studied. I just came in basically to get the raise.
So you didn't care if you failed? You just were like, I'm just going to try my best?
I wasn't intimidated, because for me, it's all fun.
You know,
win or lose, you always win, because you're learning more of a foreign language. There is no lose.
It's just like a game to you, right? You're just having fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you wouldn't say that you have any special talents or anything for language learning over the average person? I mean, nothing inborn or, you know?
There is something that I was later told that was quite special, but I never thought about it. When I think about when I learned a certain language, I can actually hear a sound in my head. And I thought this was normal, but then I was told by some friends that it's not normal, you know? Like, that's why...
What kind of sound?
The sound of the person that spoke it.
Okay.
Like, let's say my teacher taught me how to say this certain word 2 years ago. I can think about it, and I actually hear the teacher. I actually hear the sound in my head. There is no sound, I know, but I actually hear it. So, with pronunciation and stuff like that, and, like, mimicking the sounds, I don't usually have a problem. I think... maybe that's different for me than most people.
Interesting. So, but anyone basically off the street can get to where you are, and
anyone can
four months Mandarin.
Anyone can get much, much better.
Yeah.
Having this very simple approach that I have. I don't know. Cool. You know, it's very individual. You can, especially like, I'm sure anyone can get fluent in any language, but how fast they get there is quite individual, I think.
Yep. Very interesting. This has been a cool interview. I've learned a lot. If you check us out on our website at openworldmag.com, we'll also publish a outline of everything that we mentioned, all of the resources and some of the techniques. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to this interview before we wrap things up?
Yeah, just keep it simple, keep it manageable, and have fun.
Simple, manageable, and have fun. Practice every day, sure. Interact
just
as much
a little
as possible.
Bit every day. That's all it takes. Don't lose hope.
Don't lose hope. So what's next for you after Russian? Are you going to learn? I've heard that there's actually a Dothraki language.
A Dothraki language?
Yeah.
You watch Game of Thrones.
I like to see you learn a few of the phrases like, and that, you know, who are you?
I'm actually Dothraki, you know, but I don't want to tell anyone.
Dothraki tomorrow?
Actually for me, my personal goal is I would like to learn Hindi, Arabic, and Russian. I would like to become fluent or semi-fluent in Hindi, Arabic, and Russian. that would round it up to like 10, and I'd be satisfied, I guess.
Wow. So just learning for fun, right? Not for any real reason.
No. Nope.
Awesome. Well, it's been fun talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on to this interview.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, enjoyed it a lot, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Take care.